Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How has your opinion of the Bears changed following the first victory of the year?
You know, I thought after the first game that they had a chance to be a pretty good defensive team. And I thought after the second game that they need to just not throw the ball. They need to run the ball. So my opinion was more or less sort of confirmed, if you will. I think they're a pretty good defensive team. And I think if they play to that defense, and again, you know, I don't know what the status is with Jordan Howard's shoulder. Boy, he kept coming out of the game and going back in. And yeah, I think he's on target. That's pretty tough performance. That was a pretty inspired performance. But, you know, Kyle Long coming back, it really emphasized that power run game. Here's hoping Josh Sitton can play Thursday, and you could see the three guys that they have, two Pro Bowl guards and maybe a guy at center who's on his way to a Pro Bowl because he looks like a real good player too. So the three guys in the interior of that offensive line, we thought that was going to be a strength for them. We thought the power running game could be a strength for them, and they certainly used it as a strength against Pittsburgh. And, you know, I don't know how Ben Roethlisberger played as bad as he did, but he missed a ton of passes. I thought it was wild. I was talking to Biggsy last night, and I said to him, did they throw a pass to a wide receiver? I was trying to remember if a wide receiver caught a pass. And
one.
He said there was the one.
9 yards.
Which was 9 yards on a third and
16. That tells you
a lot about your wide receiver.
It tells you a lot about their confidence also in Mike Glennon.
Well, and we'll get to that question. But, my opinion of this team remains the same, which is you got a good defense and you got to complement that defense. You got to figure out a way to not turn the ball over and to use your power running game and to try to limit the opponent's series. And I was surprised. I was pleased. It was a hell of a football game. They played physical, man. I mean, my takeaway from the Bears is that they won both lines of scrimmage. They really controlled the line of scrimmage, and I didn't think they could do that against the Pittsburgh defense, but they did all the things that we wanted them to do, and then they get into overtime, and guess what? All those big hits, all the stuff they were doing, the physical play, that paid off. And it was Pittsburgh that was gassed at the end of that game, and the Bears literally ran over them in overtime. So it confirmed a lot of my opinions, and I think that has to be the style they play. I don't know that you can win every week playing that style, but it does sort of limit they have a very small window of victory, right? And it limits the possibility of blowout if they play like that. So in my opinion, it hasn't really changed.
No.
Confirmed.
Welcome to the NFL, because, you know, we were talking about it on Thursday and Friday. There would have to be some self-inflicted wounds, and you have the muff punt early, and God bless the Bears. They took advantage of it. Don't trail. Here's what you can do when you actually have a lead in a ball game.
That's right.
You know, you can run the ball. And hats off to Jordan Howard, because as Trent Green pointed out late in that game, he was actually spinning to take the hit on the left side instead of the right shoulder. And, you know, according to that, you know, he left the game twice. He didn't think he's coming back. His teammates were trying to encourage him out there. And God bless him, he goes back out there. But you could see how much he was favoring that right shoulder. And yet he gives you the two huge runs at the end. And the running game was terrific. The offensive line was wonderful. You know, a lot of special teams play and players showing up. You had Sherrick McManus having a great game, and he becomes a footnote because of the stupidity of Marcus Cooper. But Bryce Callahan with the strip and the forced fumble, the sack. But the point is that was almost a perfect storm, and you took advantage. You know, maybe Pittsburgh was a look-ahead game waiting for Baltimore. They traditionally, Mully, you had the stat that they play down to their to the level, and they have a losing record against losing teams on the road, and they kept that trend
they
going.
They went in 6 and 20 in the last 26 yeah. games against losing road teams.
Yeah. So
and now it's 6 and 21. Yeah. I mean, the trend's your friend.
But my opinion hasn't changed because their margin of error is almost nil, and you saw it yesterday. When you don't get a touchdown that you should have had, and you're getting a field goal, and now you're sitting here in a tie game, and you have to go to overtime. And again, I'm not belittling. They won the game. They did what they had to do. Cohen was terrific in the overtime, in particular Jordan Howard. But this team has to play its best football to even be in a game, and they have to get some help as well. And that's what it was yesterday. This is not a playoff team, and unfortunately, that's the case, but you give them an A for effort for the most part, and you take your hats off for a big upset.
No, my opinion of the Bears hasn't changed at all. For the most part, it's played out exactly how I figured it would, except for some in-game things. I don't think any of us predicted a win, but the three of us were saying that the Bears were going to be in the game, certainly. But in-game things, like stupidity yesterday with Cooper and Cohen last week, you can't predict that, but where the Bears still stand is to win the game, they need to play to their strength. The strengths are defense and running the football. It's really not that complicated. You don't have any other options as far as the wideouts go. And let me know when Mike Lennon's arm beats somebody at this level. I don't think it's going to happen. What is very exciting is that you take a look at how the defense has played. The premier offenses in the league they've played.
Look at the wide receivers, man.
I know. Atlanta, Tampa, and Pittsburgh. Now, across the league, Molly, I will say that over the first 2 weeks, it was really low scoring. And that's a different conversation. It might go back to the CBA and the lack of practices that are going on. It seemed like a really rough start for a lot of the offenses around the league, but I'm not trying to take anything away from the Bears here. I still think that Vegas set a good number at 5.5 wins, 5-6 victories. That's where they end up. My opinion will change when I see something on the road. That's when my opinion would change with this team. But at home so far, they are hanging with what we expect to be a couple of playoff teams in this league. Maybe three playoff teams when it's over.
I really like what you just said about the wide receivers, Joe. I think a lot of people going into the season like the front seven, myself included, they've played pretty well. But being able to mostly rein in who, I mean, I consider to be three of the best, probably five wide receivers in the league, and Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and Antonio Brown 3 weeks in a row is extremely impressive for a secondary that I didn't think was maybe up to that caliber. So that's been a little bit of a surprise to me. But like you guys mentioned, you get the running game going finally with Howard looking like a Pro Bowler again yesterday. Kyle Long was fantastic. Cody Whitehair was very, very good. And you force turnovers. Some of them were dumbass turnovers by Pittsburgh, but that's fine. You take it. That's how you beat teams that are more talented than you. You make them turn the ball over. So I think it would be interesting if they were able to pull out that first game. The narrative right now, if they were 2-1 with victories over Atlanta and Pittsburgh, obviously that didn't happen. But 1-2 so far in this gauntlet of a first five games, it's not too bad.
Well, that's what makes you upset, is that they should have won that first game now, right? They should have won that game. And had Kyle Long possibly been up and running, maybe they would have. He obviously is very important to what they're doing, and maybe he's most comfortable at right guard. And now we're going to end up seeing what happens when Sitton comes back. Who's going to play right guard? Who's going to play left guard? This league, though, is so razor thin. We finally, as Brian mentioned, we got some good games yesterday. And Joe mentioned about the CBA, I believe. It's finally coming around, right? The death of the NFL is not upon us. Players aren't terrible. The league's not terrible. It's so, so razor thin. So razor thin. Quarterback play is horrendous. I still think they've got to go to Mitch Trubisky. But we'll see what happens Thursday night.
How about Joe Flacco? Did he have like 8 yards through three quarters of passing?
There were a lot of guys that had horrific passing days yesterday.
Could the Bears have won that game without Mike Glennon? Does the first victory of the Glennon era tap the brakes on starting Mitchell Trubisky?
Now, arguably, they did win the game without Mike Glennon. You know, his quarterback rating yesterday was 74.2, and in Tampa it was 76.2. So that's, I mean, you know, maybe that speaks to ratings more than anything else. But, you know, he had his interception, and you overcame it. You held the defense. God bless. The defense held the Pittsburgh to a field goal and minimized the damage. He just, if anything, it probably accelerates the conversation in some quarters that, boy, if you had an athletic quarterback like Mitch Trubisky, you know, maybe you can do some more things like actually roll out and throw to whoever qualifies as a wide receiver this time. I mean, you're 12 for 12 with passes to the running backs, right? And it's, you know, 5 for 5 with Jordan Howard and 4 for 4 with Tariq Cohen, and even Benny Cunningham was 3 for 3, all about 25, 26 yards. So that in addition to your running game, there's a short passing game that complements that. But he's not a difference maker. I mean, he's a guy. And he was a guy that didn't cost you a game yesterday, but he certainly didn't win you a game yesterday.
I would say that, could you have won that game without Mike Glennon? Absolutely. I think maybe one of us could have quarterbacked them to victory in that scenario. Mike Glennon, no offense to him, but that accelerates Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, here's the thing. If you're actually going to run that game plan, then you'd be better off with Trubisky. You really should go to Trubisky. I mean, you know, this has nothing to do with the line of scrimmage. They had a game plan to stop Mike Glennon from beating them. That's what they had. And he still threw a pick, and he tried to throw a second pick. Okay? And that's your answer, Brian. The reason his quarterback rating is so awful isn't because he had 101 yards. It's because he threw a pick.
Sure.
The picks are that's why I kind of like QB rating, because it punishes you for picks. And it gives you a good read on what the quarterback was asked to do. But 101 yards, he was sacked a couple times. Yeah, I would say if you had that game plan going, that Trubisky would really – he would be a big part of it. He'd be able to do a lot more. You can get him out on the run and do stuff like that. I thought the game plan last week would not have been a very good one for a Mitchell Trubisky. And I guess a lot of that is this is the first game where they led, and the first game they led the whole way.
Yep.
It's also the first time Pittsburgh trailed, and Pittsburgh came back and did tie that game. And I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things where I think that that Mike Glennon is – I mean, is his confidence shot? My confidence would be shot if I lost a game the way I did and then came back and was basically handcuffed and begged not to lose a game. That was what the game plan was.
3rd and 16 from your own 19, and they have you throw a 9-yard pass. They don't, you know, well, they don't trust you to try to get out of that hole. And
no, at least they shouldn't.
Yeah,
that was good. I'm surprised they didn't take a knee.
Yeah, help.
Yeah, of course they could have won that game without Mike Glennon. The victory does not change their path or their plan at this moment. What they do with Glennon and Trubisky, the result of that game wasn't because of Mike Glennon. It was because of the run game and things that Steelers were not doing. Right, exactly. Thursday's big, though. Thursday's big. If the Bears can – I'm not saying they are, but if they can go up there and win a game –
Picking the Bears?
No.
Joe, do you see what the line is? I just looked.
Yeah.
10.
It's 10 now?
It's the largest line they've had this season. 10-point underdog.
I thought it was 7.5.
No, it's 10.
Oh, doctor. I hate betting.
Apparently
Thursday
Las Vegas
games.
Didn't change their thinking on the Bears either.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, the Packers haven't covered the last couple games.
Oh, they're begging you. They're begging you to take the Bears.
The Packers have to go to overtime to beat Cincinnati and come from a
they
deficit.
They are goading you into taking the Bears. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Okay, see, I'm seeing 7.5 everywhere.
And sometimes I got 10.
Okay. It's
7.5 makes sense.
And once you get to that point, it's pretty much the same thing. You're already past that key number of 7. The money's probably going to bring it towards the 10 anyways. But
it's a lot.
Yeah.
Coming off a big win, you're still touchdown plus.
It's in Green Bay. Yeah. I mean, we know what the Bears are on the road, and they weren't too happy. How about they were down 21-7 early on in that game?
Yes.
And nice Packers comeback victory. Right. But anyways, back to this question.
Rodgers didn't play great initially anyway.
No, certainly not. The Bengals fixed everything with their new offensive coordinator. Yeah, they could have won the game without Mike Glennon. It's possible. You can make the argument that they're 2-1 without Mike Glennon. So this does not change anything. But Thursday is big because then you have the week and a half off after that before a home game on Monday night against the Vikings. After Thursday is a spot a lot of us have been talking about. This is where they could possibly make the switch, and a lot of it hinges on what we see.
This certainly does not tap the brakes. This, if anything, slams on the gas pedal because Mike Glennon doesn't do anything particularly well. One of the things that people said about Mike Glennon that he's pretty good at is taking care of the ball, maybe not making dumb decisions, not turning it over. He made a lot of bad throws, did turn the ball over, almost did more than once, so certainly does not tap the brakes at all. If they're going to game plan like this, why do you need to have Mike Glennon in there? Literally any professional or even college quarterback could run this game plan as the quarterback in this Bears offense right now. I don't know if it's Dowell Loggins not trusting Glennon or just not wanting to put too much on his shoulders, but no, this isn't buying him any time.
No, not at all. I mean, could they have won it? Of course they could have won it with somebody else. I mean, he could have had at least, he could have had two picks, right? I mean, he had the one in the fourth, and there was another one that was dropped. He could have easily had two. So no, Mike Glennon is not. He's, I mean, where's Mike? Hot garbage.
What was the best thing about the Cubs Brewers series?
Oh, I think there were a lot of good things about it, and you know, three games decided in extra innings. But I'm going to go with the complete game shutout from Jose Quintana and the fact that Joe called it the kind of game that could be career-altering. So I also love when Wilson Contreras calls somebody a special kid.
How old's Wilson?
It seems that Contreras has been around a little longer than Wilson, but that's cool. So just because of, you know, people were talking about, it wasn't that long ago that people were saying that Quintana, you know, you can't have him in your playoff rotation, and now your 3 and 4 starters might be your 1 and 2 starters when you get to the playoffs. That was the special moment, and made all the more special by our own Dustin Rhodes being in attendance at that game. I would say the best known Q hater in all of Cubden.
You know, there's so much to like about this series, starting with the mentality. First of all, the fact that the Cubs are playing their best baseball for the last 3 weeks. It's terrific. And, you know, different guys stepping up.
Intensity of those games.
You know, Lackey supposedly reportedly said, he wouldn't say it, but a teammate said that he said on Thursday, this is not a small series, boys. You know, just to remind everyone as they started that game. And then by yesterday, it fully was Wrigley Field North. You know, the Brewers fans tried to make themselves known a couple times over the 4-game set, but it really was a pro Cubs crowd to the point where Ryan Braun was being booed from his first at bat through the series. But I mean, it all starts with the pitching, and it was terrific. And I know Wade Davis finally had a hiccup, but the guy had pitched in 6 of 8 games, and you know that's a concerning thing where he said the arm feels a little bit fatigued. But he said, you know, it's no big thing, but it's a thing enough that he said that it feels fatigued. So you worry about that.
How about
this thing up and give him a nice, you know, week and a half off as much as you can.
How about the defense?
Yeah.
And how, you know, did they commit an error? I can't remember them committing an error. Did they commit an error in those games? I think they played clean. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, but the best thing is just the mindset that, you know what, they've hit the accelerator here. They're putting teams in the rearview mirror. And they come to play every day, and you know that
the mind of Zoe.
That it'll tell you what it needs. I mean, I like the collective mindset of, you know what, we're damn good, and we're going to prove it to everybody. And it's, you know, basically it's the Cubs' time of year, and that's it.
The best thing about the series was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All these close games going to extra innings.
Playoff-type games.
This is it. Yeah, the atmosphere was there. Low scoring. Nobody scored more than 5 runs in any of these 4 games. So, that's where I go. I'm looking forward to hearing from Dustin in a moment. Rough weekend for Dustin. Quintana.
I know.
And then he said on Friday that his favorite play was the Broncos.
Wow.
Bills. Oof.
He wasn't alone on that, I think, Vegas said Broncos were on like every teaser and parlay card.
It was 90%. I was like, yeah, I'll take Buffalo.
Shuffle off to Buffalo.
Yeah, give me them.
Come on. It's Quintana. That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say.
For the purposes of our show, too.
All you have to say is it's Quintana?
Q.
Okay. He was
the mind of Q.
What's his Q rating?
He was fantastic yesterday. He was excellent.
You finally saw him pitch.
Saw him pitch in person. Loved it. That stadium is fantastic. It's not Wrigley Field, of course.
But yeah, it's much nicer and better.
Okay.
Well,
you had your
stadium.
Turn. Can you be quiet now? Your one-word answer? That's all you got?
Sorry, we're late.
Okay. Q was great. But again, as I said, I've never wanted to be more wrong than Q. We'll see. We still will see. If I was a Brewers fan, I would be out of my mind. You had that rally against Wade Davis, and you came back, and so you're kind of sort of still hanging around. And like you would have thought that the Cubs were going for the sweep yesterday. I mean, the place was 90% full of Cub fans, and there were a lot of empty seats.
Because they're going home to watch the Packers.
Probably.
Or
it was
starting
hot.
Tailgating.
The third base side upper deck is directly in the sun. The roof was open, and those seats were not full at all. I mean, I can't believe they quit. They like mailed it in. So we'll see about Quintana. That was great. Fantastic. 116 pitches. Zobrist had a big series. The series
was so
fun.
What do you mean
by
we'll see?
We'll see how he performs once
that was,
postseason.
That
was a great warm-up. Well, yeah, that's why he's here. He's here to pitch against
Murphy. That was a playoff-light game. It wasn't a playoff game, right? Is that what
it was? A playoff-light game. Right. Yes, it was a playoff-light game. We'll see. Listen, I never said he wasn't going to be in the rotation. Of course he's going to be in the rotation. He's a left-handed pitcher going up against probably a national team.
Did you badmouth him, or did I imagine
of
that?
Of course I badmouthed him.
Yes.
He finally has very little White Sox stink left on him. Okay. Showers.
His other best start was his first start against Baltimore, Justin. So I mean,
he knew that team. Congratulations.
He knew that team.
There's none of that. Okay. You know, Chris Bosio, the mound excuse and the bullpen's excuse. You're still getting used to all these mounds. Okay.
Well. Did the weekend change the way the Cubs consider their playoff rotation?
You know, it's interesting that Joe keeps that door open. He's asked questions about John Lester, who makes a start again tonight, and you know he of the 5+ ERA since the injury, and that Joe doesn't say, "Oh no, John's our guy." I mean, he could shut this whole thing down, this conversation down, and just point to John Lester's postseason record and how terrific he is, and 22 postseason starts or whatever it is, and just say, you know, it's go time for John Lester, so don't worry about it. But he doesn't. He said, "You know, we're not there yet. We have time to figure it out." You're spoiled for choice. That's a good thing. Kyle Hendricks was what a gem he pitched over the weekend. Now Jose Quintana, 10 strikeouts, one walk, and has been terrific in his last four starts. You're spoiled for choice. That's the beautiful thing. I fully expect them still to give the ball to John Lester in game one against the Nationals. I really do. No matter what happens tonight in St. Louis or before you get to the playoffs. But the fact of the matter is, if you choose to go a different direction, you're spoiled for choice now. And I think John Lester is going to be, and no one wants to, you know, he wants to be that guy, but he's also professional enough to know if they choose to give it to somebody else, he'll rise to the occasion. But I think it is, they're at least keeping the door open. I don't think it's much of a conversation at this point, but I think it is a conversation.
I think you're overly optimistic by saying you're spoiled for choice. I think you have options. You're not spoiled for choice because you don't have great options every time out. I think that the problem is that Lester has not looked good.
No.
And that's scary. And you want to go with him because he's the guy and he's been there and he's done it, but you'd like to see it. You'd like to see it out of him. And I think that's kind of the problem. I think you're being too optimistic saying spoiled for choice.
Yeah, it's not like you have Scherzer and Strasburg. Right, you know, flip a coin, I can go with either one.
I think what's weird is that you have to worry about the health of the first two guys that you're starting.
And they keep saying Lester's healthy,
but it looks different.
And they don't say it with a lot of conviction. It's almost like, well, you know, he's well, what Joe says, not unwell. Okay,
but
whatever
it's
is.
It's the matchups. It's the matchups, matchups, matchups. And it looks like it's Washington. It's looked like that for a very long time, and it would be surprising if it wasn't. And you know, Daniel Murphy has been a Cub killer, and Bryce Harper has been a baseball killer. So I think that gives you a little bit of pause about how you want to line it up. And I think that it'll be very interesting because so often the matchups are all created by the numbers. Now we're talking about also going with kind of a gut instinct on who's healthy and who isn't and who's in form and who isn't. I think you're right, Brian. I think they'll bow to what the history of the program is, but I'm not sure that's the best move when you start looking at the numbers.
Yeah, this entire question of the Cubs playoff rotation, it's a John Lester question.
That's right.
Because
right.
once
That's
you right. get the first spot, you kind of know where everybody else falls in yeah. line because you're not going right. with Quintana and Lester in back-to-back days. So what do you value most? Is it really all riding on tonight? Maybe it is, because if he's bad again, this is a real conversation. Maybe we're leaning towards him not being the number one starter. But once you get that number one spot filled out, the rest is kind of easy. And it's, you know, there's really not much of an advantage as far as lefty-righties go. They're on base, the Nationals, 332 against righties, 328 against lefties.
That's a nice split, huh?
Yeah, it certainly is. So it's really about figuring out that Lester spot. And I don't know how much they value form, but when you have negative form with one guy and positive with the other guys, maybe you value it a little bit more, especially when the other team is throwing Scherzer at you in game one, most likely. So I at the moment, I don't think it changes it. But after tonight, we'll have an interesting conversation tomorrow morning about this.
Yeah, I don't think the weekend changed the way they're considering the rotation, but I think tonight might. I think that's a really good point, Joe. John Lester has been, I mean, let's face it, he's been awful for the past, what, month and a half, yeah. 2 months? I mean, you can't really cut it any other way. So I don't know how big this series is, given the fact that the Cubs look to be pretty smooth sailing now in terms of the division, but huge, huge night for John Lester. Really important game for him tonight, and really important to see what they do with the rotation.
And I want to see Jake another time around.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure there's no hiccup there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it changed anything. Listen, would I be okay with Quintana, if that's the question that somebody's trying to get at, starting game one in Washington?
I don't think
absolutely.
I don't think that's
because,
the guy.
Because Lester, and Mully, you've pointed it out correctly and all year, and you've been on this, and you're right. Lester at Wrigley is fantastic. But I just don't know. Lester is such a force and a presence in that clubhouse. How the team would react to that move. How would they react to potentially being down 0-2, limping back into Wrigley Field, and it's Lester? Like, I just think the team kind of will rally around this guy. Tonight's big. Absolutely. Would I be against it? If he has a clunker tonight, and they still get into the postseason, and if they're playing Washington in the first round, I could definitely have that conversation of Jose Quintana starting this thing out in Washington.
See, I think it would be Jake.
I love you, Dustin. You're not fickle at all. You went from
Cuke's got sock stain to give him the ball for game one.
Keep him off the roster to starting him in game one of the NLDS.
No, the idea is that if you're going lefty-righty-lefty, you're not going to go righty-lefty-righty-lefty. You're going to start – a left-handed starter is going to start the game against the Nationals. That I will guarantee.
Mm. Well, if you go with Arrieta 1, is Lester guaranteed 2? Because if you do that, now you're talking about Quintana possibly not pitching in the series.
Yeah. Big night tonight.
Why did President Donald Trump pick a fight with professional sports, and how did the NFL handle the controversy?
I honestly think that President Trump was just throwing red meat to his base. That's all it was. He was just feeding some red meat to the people that want to dine on it. That's you know, they were just – people were eating that up. They chew on it and love it. And that's kind of what he was doing. I don't think he really meant to pick a fight. I think that maybe his feelings were hurt that Golden State doesn't want to come to the White House, and so he immediately disinvited them on Twitter, which is kind of absurd. And then – everybody went after him for that, and then he decides to go with something that everybody can kind of agree on, his base, I'm saying. Love the idea that he's defending the flag and the whole nationalism element. I mean, it's amazing to me. You know, my parents were immigrants, and I'm a first-generation American. And, you know, I'm a patriotic person. I've got a flag in front of my house at all. I respect the flag. I do think, though, that as much as people are offended by it, the Constitution gives you the right to take a knee or to protest if that's what you choose to do. It's a very unpopular thing. I think the NFL should have handled it a long time ago. And it was a simple fix. All they had to do is have the national anthem basically first and then have the players warm up and then go on with the game. And no one would have really – I mean, I think people would have figured out what they were doing, but I don't think it would have been this national cause. And I think that as a result of the president's comments, then the protests really – you know, what was kind of going away or what was not really that big an issue – is now in the forefront. And I think that there's a lot of different reasons that people protest, and you may not like it, but that is a right that is given to you in the Constitution. And I think that there are countries where you have to stand at attention and you have to vote and you have, and we, part of our freedom is that you don't have to do that. So I think that it's not something you should legislate. And I think it's something that they caused a big uproar about. And, I don't even think people know what the hell they're protesting anymore. I think it's more now turned into a respecting the flag and respecting I don't know how the NFL handled it, whether that was good or not. People locking arms, is that good? I don't think that's a bad thing. Unity is not a bad thing. Teams deciding not to come out on the field, that didn't appeal to me at all. So I think we're in a very awkward position. And it's not something that I'm happy about.
It's a very awkward position. And when you started your answer, Molly, you were right on it. When he's in Huntsville, Alabama, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like the first few months of his presidency. What the hell's going on in Chicago? He knows the reaction he can get. He knows how to deflect things.
Pushing buttons.
Instead of talking about real serious issues, he knows who he's talking to. And he knows, you know, that he's going to get a strong affirmative reaction from a group of his supporters by talking about sons of bitches.
That you know what? And the problem with that, and there's a lot of problems
with
that.
Well, now it becomes personal.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But there's a lot of problems involved in that. But then here's the thing. If someone doesn't go to visit the White House, you're not respecting the office.
Right.
How is he respecting the office?
No, he's demeaning
the office.
By
standing behind a podium
and
using that language.
Right, with the seal, the presidential seal.
That's rough.
Yeah, it's very rough. And you know, he has an issue with anything ending in Ville because he couldn't talk about Charlottesville in the proper manner for a president. And now Huntsville, he's throwing this red meat out there and getting that reaction. As far as the way the league handled it, it was interesting to see a number of owners down on the sidelines locking arms, including Daniel Snyder. It was interesting that George McCaskey addressed the team over the weekend and asked them not to protest. And Daniel Trevathan said, well, he had his say, and we decided to do what we did. And I think the Bears handled it in about the best way you can handle a very controversial and difficult discussion. But, I mean, to hear some of the players, emotional players after the game, talk about how they have daughters and sons and they want to leave this world a better place and they're going to stand up for this. I mean, I don't know if you get rid of the national anthem. The blowback from that would be unbelievable as well. But right now, it's, you know, Mike Tomlin talked about in football terms. He was upset that a football team was dragged into this BS, as he said. And he was up, you know, it's almost like his team would spend more time on trying to figure out how they're going to handle the anthem and didn't come out ready to play football. And so I can't figure out President Donald Trump. I'd like to believe I could, but I can't. And, you know, the fights he picks are beneath the office. And, you know, it's beyond me when you have bigger issues when you're flying bombers over North Korea because of the serious nature of what's going on over there and the threats we actually have in this world. On the same weekend, you're worried about NBA players and NFL players.
Yeah, anytime a question starts, why did Donald Trump do this? Like, really? You want me to answer for some of the stuff that he's doing? But I think you guys nailed it with the base down in Alabama. Love what DeShone Kizer had to say after the Browns game yesterday. It's ridiculous that I'm hesitating to repeat what the president said.
Exactly. On the air.
Yeah.
Joe Mann said it's amazing that it's too bad we're at a point where we have this conversation that we talk about the office of the president and how we respond to that.
Deportment.
As far as the NFL, it was handled in very different ways. We're talking about ownership, players. Some teams were in the locker room. Some teams were out there for the anthem. Some teams stood. Some teams did not. It was. It's hard to say this is how the NFL handled it because it was so different from place to place.
Yeah, Brian, you said that, you know, you can't understand what the president is doing. I think it would take a team of, like, the world's most renowned psychologists to try to get inside this maniac's head. You don't know what he's doing ever. LeBron called him a bum. I'm inclined to agree. I need to get a shirt that says "you bum" on it, because that is now just, like, entered the lexicon as the most just demeaning, just kind of like, you bum? What the hell's the matter
with you? Josh Norman came borderline threatening the president. He said, you know, he's not welcome in D.C., and I better not see him around because I'll tell him that.
That might be taking it a little bit.
I'm saying the Secret Service might have a conversation with him. I mean, but this is how emotional it's getting.
Well, you know, he's fanning the flames. He's not helping. He's divisive. He's an idiot. He's a child. I don't know why he does anything he does. He could take a walk.
Brian, I think you nailed it when you said, why is he, what is the point? These are comments and things that are below what the president should be all about. Mully, you nailed it. He's playing to a crowd. That's what that little group that was assembled wanted to hear. I did like how the Bears locked arms. And I really think, and we can get into this in the 6 o'clock hour, I think 75% of the reason the Bears won is because of how the Steelers participated in this.
Wow. All right, that is the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. Bears win! Bears win! First victory in the third game. Haven't seen that in a while. Mully and Hanley on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.